Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marco's Chipper. You can't beat the scran doing it, Marco's. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as usual is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome.
Hello.
This week we'll be looking back at the home defeat to Falkirk, looking at the possible January business that Jim Marconelli may do. And as there's no game this week, we'll have a quick look at the Scottish Cup ties, particularly the ones looking involving the League One side. So, Martin, have we recovered for Saturday yet?
Yeah, just about. Very disappointing game.
Disappointing game, disappointing day all round. Bar was busy though, which was always a good sign.
Yeah, always a positive for the club.
Plastic tumblers again, though. We're not like the plastic tumblers, but hey, off, busy. But today we're going to start though with some breaking news. Most of you will probably be aware that Captain Rory McArthur has put in a transfer request to the club. Obviously, this is still a breaking kind of story, so details are pretty sketchy at the moment. But your initial reaction to it, Martin?
Initial reaction is very surprised at the timing of it. Halfway through the transfer window, didn't appear from the outside to be too much grumbling from the players in recent weeks or months. So yeah, initial reaction is very surprised at the timing of it.
It's surprising because it's halfway through January. It's surprising we're coming off the back of two defeats as well. We're at a bit of a low anyway. So the last thing you need now is your captain saying, right, I've had enough, essentially. I'm went out.
Yeah, you want everybody to be, you know, we're not in the best position in the league, we're also out the cup as well. You want the team to be a united front, all pulling the same direction from the board, the manager, the staff and the player. So, as you said, it's disappointing that we're leader on the pitch, our captain has decided that he wants away.
So any kind of thoughts on why he wants to leave then? Any other things off the top of your head? Because as you said, he's been there that long now, he just seems to be part and parcel of the furniture.
Yeah, I think the expression that comes to mind, he'll probably feel he wants a fresh challenge, so to speak, and maybe feels that he can't achieve anything more, or he's maybe too comfortable and he wants to do something. He is 32 now, is he? Mm-hmm. He's not at an age where I think that if he does move to another club that he would be a regular starter. I could be wrong. But yeah, it is disappointing that it's sort of come halfway through the transfer window.
It's quite ironic, I should say. That he's near a regular starter even for us to an extent. So it's difficult to see who's going to take on a 32-year-old who's essentially still carrying injuries, who isn't really scoring goals either. So his options must be very, very limited.
Yeah, he banged him in for us over the last couple of years. We all know that. He struggled with injury towards the end of last season, and that's a theme that's continued this season. Like you said, if he does go, I don't know where he's going to feel that he could be a regular starter. Time will tell, but it's a big blow for the club, I would have thought.
The obvious one probably would be someone like Cove, but again, you kind of see him even being a regular there as well. He'd probably be a bench warmer as such, or even as we've said before, he could be like an impact striker, but surely it'd be more beneficial for him to stay at least for the rest of the season.
Yeah, like I said earlier on, you want everybody pulling in the same direction, so it's disappointing from that aspect. You mentioned Cove, are they going to be wanting to sign a 32-year-old, 33, coming up as well? It's a strange one. I can only think that he's got potentially an option that where he wants to go, or he's been advised to put in a request to try and force a move. Is it just to shake things up with Mark and Ali? You know, we're only
speculating,
that's a word I'm trying to get out. We're only speculating at the moment. It's only obviously just broken in the last few hours as well, so I think there's quite a bit to this story than maybe meets the eye on the outside.
So from that kind of standpoint then, if he's unhappy possibly with Jim, is his tactics, his policy of the players he's been signing, there must be someone there other than he wants a fresh challenge, because I kind of see a 32-year-old want a fresh challenge. He's winding down his career, should be.
Yeah, you mentioned the signing of players. I don't think that should make a difference where the players are being signed from. Rory should be looking at his own game and seeing where he can. I know he is 32, but also this season it hasn't quite worked for him. Does he need to adapt? We talk about the managers changing their tactics to suit certain games. Do the players then, as they're getting to the latter years of their career, do they need to adapt their game and think, can they bring something? If he's not scoring goals, is he doing enough? I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying, from his point of view, is it from the manager's point of view? Do they all feel that he needs to work harder on a certain aspect? I don't know, but it is disappointing news. I wanted the captain to be the player that's leading the rest of the guys. Is it? I mean, we've now got the potential now that it could cause a divide within the camp. Again, speculating, but if you see your captains wanting out, does that then start to lead to other players? If you're trying to recruit players coming in as well, they see from the outside, well, your captain's wanting out, you know, what's happening in there. There's there's a lot to this story, I personally feel.
You mentioned about changing his game and stuff. It was mentioned to us on Saturday, but even before all this kind of changed, that he could even start thinking about changing his position, play maybe as a centre-half or something like that, just because he's not going to run about, let's be honest. He's not going to play well and do all the running that he used to. And I think Jim's tactic of he started this season of the one up front doesn't suit him. And I don't think it really suits Lyle either, although Lyle seems to be a bit more mobile of the two. But if you looked at the signings that he brought in the summer, the Ben Armour and Aidan Smith, you would have thought, well, that's fine. He's just going to bring in two young strikers to play alongside two experienced. You know, obviously, you're not going to play all four. But yeah, you're going to play one or the other, one young in with an experienced in, or maybe the young in's can in certain games and mix it up a bit. But for some reason, he's decided this season, right, we're going to play one up front, and that's maybe he's maybe been overcautious thinking about the last time we were in this league, where obviously it ended in relegation and that. He didn't want to go through that again, but it's not working. So maybe this is Rory's way of saying, right. Right, you need to do something, because or else I'm out.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that, but I would say that if that is Rory's feeling, then surely speaking to the manager, I would like to think that they've had talks previously. Peterhead put out in the last hour, you know, that they were surprised by it. So as a club, are they aware of Rory's feelings within the camp? Or do they know that he's not happy with things? Like I said, I'd like to have thought that Rory would have spoken to the manager about it, and if there was an issue, they could try and sort it if it does come down to tactics or his game. It's something that will hopefully resolve itself in our favour as a club. But obviously we don't want to keep a player who's, if he's adamant that he wants away, it then creates that issue as well.
The advantage that the club's got is that he's contracted to the end of the 2020-21 season.
Yeah.
So he's got 18 months left. So, if anybody does want to sign him, they're going to have to pay for him, which obviously for a League One side is obviously they're not going to get a 6-figure for him, but any 5-figure fee for him is going to be worth thinking about.
Yeah, because as we said, he's not exactly banging in the goals this season. He has struggled with injury. On the flip side of being disappointed, if we are going to get some money for him and he does go, whether it be in January or the summer, that money can then go back into the
coffers, and maybe get somebody else in.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. So there is two sides to it. But again, it's our captain that's wanting to leave. It doesn't portray a good image from outside of the club.
And if he says he's not happy because he's not starting enough games, he started quite a few this season. In fact, I think he started more than what Lyle has. So he's given ample opportunity to play and to get the goals.
Yeah, I don't think we can argue that he's played over half the games this season. I'm not off the top of my head, I'm not sure how many he's actually finished. But, you know, he certainly started, so he's certainly got at least 45 minutes in the games that he started. At the start of the season, he looked like he was lacking confidence, which was surprising for a striker that scored as many goals. But then that went on and on for several weeks. And then at times you felt he was not shying away from it, but an opportunity that he might have taken last season or had an effort on goal, he wasn't. But he has had the opportunity, as you've said, from Jim. It's not like he's been sitting on the bench. But obviously Jim will take him out of the team if he feels he needs to try something different, and he has done that by putting in Lyle in certain weeks.
If you remember the Airdrie game, he missed that, well, practically an open goal in the second half, and he just kind of looped it over. That's the kind of player he's been this season. He's not been hitting the target, he's not getting the goals, and for some reason something in the background doesn't seem to be working.
Yeah, last season he'd have buried that chances. It would, even the half chances this season, it would have, you'd have fancied him more often than not last season to score it. As you said, it hasn't worked out this season. But we would, you'd like to think the club and the player would like a quick resolution one way or another.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want it going in the last few days of Rory still unsure of where he wants to go at the end of the transfer window. You'd like to think that it's either going to be settled one way or another. But obviously, given the club time, if he is to go in January, to find a suitable replacement, if that is what Jim decides.
I don't think he's going to go any higher. I don't think the Championship side is going to take him. Possibly another League One, but I would fancy probably be dropping down to League Two.
Yeah, again, with the age and the injury situation that he's had, I'm not sure he would get another League One side.
It's a risk for him as well, because the chances are, if he does leave in January, somebody's only going to sign him until the end of this season. They're not going to give him a long-term contract.
Yeah.
And that's a big risk for him, given that, again, because of his age and he's still part-time and the rest of it. So he's gambling here a little bit, I think. But as I said, if somebody's only going to sign him for 6 months, and by the end of that 6 months, that could be him. He might not get another club, because if he goes to a other club, doesn't score until the end of the season, nobody else is going to pick him up. He might end up maybe Highland League or something like that, or bottom end of the League Two next season. But it's a massive, massive gamble on his part.
It would be a shame to see him leave, get another club for potentially 6 months, and then sort of find himself falling by the wayside, like you said, at a Highland League club. No disrespect to a Highland League club, but Rory, he is a good player, he's proven that, he has got a track record, and just for some reason this season it doesn't seem to have worked out.
And it would be a hell of a way to finish what's been a pretty, dare I say, legendary career he's had at Peterhead. All the goals he's scored, the records he's had, championships, etc, etc, to finish it this way would be pretty poor.
Yeah, I think if anybody at Peterhead deserves a, not a free season as such, but a season where he struggled but still be backed, you would think it would be Rory. You know, if he came back, if he decides to stay, he was here next season, a good pre-season, gets over the injuries that he's got, you know, next season could be a different.
Yeah, you know, if he was not going to, if he's still getting, maybe he wasn't getting as regular starts or wasn't getting full 9 minutes, etc., but he still had 10 goals this season, and he said to you, right, I'm looking for a fresh challenge because Peterhead are struggling, etc., you might think, well, okay, I can understand where he's coming from, but he's not actually playing as much and he's not getting the goals. So again, it just doesn't seem to be, the timing just seems to be bizarre.
From my
point of perspective,
it's no coincidence that whilst we are struggling in the league as well, Rory's obviously struggling at the same time. You know, they sort of go hand in hand. If Rory's having a good season, like we did last season, you know, we got promoted again. Rory's struggling this year. We are struggling at the bottom end of the table. So they sort of go hand in hand, but hopefully we'll be at a quick resolution one way or the other.
Hope so. Let's hope so. So quick resolution to that, hopefully in the next coming days. But we'll have to kind of cover the defeat to Falkirk. I don't think this is going to be very positive either, somehow, apart from maybe the service at the bar was the only positive part of that. But a quick summary on your part of what you thought of the game at Falkirk, against Falkirk, I should say.
It was a difficult watch. We certainly struggled in that game. You could tell Falkirk were a class above, that they really did look good. But I think that is more from our point of view of making them look good.
Yeah, we certainly made them look good. I don't think they were. Did they look as though they were title contenders?
No.
We always thought that they could probably step up a wee bit higher, but
We said that on Saturday, that we felt that they had a couple of gears to go through if they needed to. They never really got out of first gear, but
and that's definitely something to do with the new management, I think, as well. They just seem to be bringing the best out of the players that they've got, whereas previous managers seem to struggle with that.
Yeah, the management duo has gone there and seems to have given a kick up the backside to the Falkirk players. I think they realise how big a season this is for them. They don't want to be languishing in League One too long.
No, they want to get back up straight away. So the game itself, obviously we knew that Boyle was going to be out because of his injury. So before the game, we were kind of trying to figure out who was going to play at left back. And then we got the team sheet and then we were even more confused. Because not only was Boyle out of the team, Conroy was out of the team, and so was Jason Brown. And then came Eddie, Dunlop and McAllister. And from the outset, again, we were trying to figure out who was going to play where. It was quite a...
I think all the names just went in a tombola.
Yeah, I think it was...
It certainly felt like it.
Aye. And then it, as the game kind of started, it looked as though it was a 5-4-1. Bizarrely, McAllister was playing on the left... and Lyle was the only was the lone striker. So, thoughts on his changes, his tactics for the start from the start of the game, I should say.
Hindsight's a great thing, but personally, I felt it was wrong to go with a back five. Sort of invited Falkirk to come on. We struggled to get any momentum and rhythm in midfield. I don't know whether that's because we obviously when players in midfield did get it, they're only looking up top and seeing Lyle. We sort of got squeezed out of the game in midfield, overran. Hindsight's a great thing, but I felt personally it was wrong to go with the back five.
I knew one of them probably would have had to come in, given that Boyle was injured. But the fact that you've got Dunlop, who'd started, he hadn't started a game since the 28th of September, and that was a 4-3 defeat to Montrose. And Edie's only had one start since the 30th of November. He's only had one start, which is the 30th of November, since the 31st of August. You can't be bringing in these guys for a game like this and expect them to perform. Because they're way down on match sharpness, and then they're playing against a couple of guys who are on form, who are pushing for the top end of the table. It just seemed to be a bizarre way of doing it. And I don't think Stevenson is an option to play at left back, because we've seen him play there in the cup game against Fermartin. I know he came off injured in that one, but he struggled there as well. If he's going to play at full-back, he needs to be playing at right-back.
Yes.
And it just looked as though it was square pegs, round holes, etc. That kind of cliches you want to come up with. It just didn't seem to be very beneficial. To then have a settled back four and then change almost all bar one, I know, again, one was through injury, it just didn't seem to be any sort of rhyme or reason for it.
The goals that we've conceded in the last, maybe let's say last month, they haven't been because, well, in my opinion, of the defensive shape. It's been that individual errors.
Yeah.
So I think to go and change it to a back five, it's difficult when you change your shape at the back, you sort of lose that momentum, as I say. Wrong game to do it from when you're playing Falkirk, regardless of it being a home game. Falkirk are one of the top teams in the division.
You try and keep it as steady as you can. I mean, if he's going to say he's dropped Jason Brown, he's dropped Jason Brown a couple of times this season, but every time he's dropped him, he's come back in next game, or as he did in this game, come on as a sub, because Dunlop couldn't play the whole full 90 minutes. So again, that's
not surprising.
There doesn't seem to be any, because if he's having to bring him on because he knows that Dunlop can't play a full 90 minutes, that's, you're losing one substitution already.
Yeah.
Through a game. So if he's going to drop Brown, possibly because of the mistakes or the mistake he made against Wraith for Wraith's second goal, it seems to be it was the wrong game to do it. If he's going to punish him maybe the next game, for example, we're at home to Dunbarton. And that's no disrespect to Dumbarton or any other team, but it was just the wrong time to do it. If he wants to stamp his authority, do it in the change rooms, do it in the training room, whatever he wants to do. But then I sacrifice 3 points or sacrifice your team's spirit, your confidence, just because you feel as though he needs to be punished.
Yeah.
And again, Hooper made a mistake in that game as well, so why was he not dropped? Again, you can't drop everybody, but why is Brown being singled out and not Hooper?
Yeah, it looks like he's trying to make an example of someone, but like you said, it's a wrong game to do it.
It's a wrong game to do it. And funnily enough, the goals that was conceded, the first one, for example, Conor Salmon had a free header to, or a, it was free at the edge of the box, managed to control the ball, and all of a sudden they've scored.
I think that's what annoys me more about the performance. It actually made Conor Salmon look decent.
Conor Salmon looked like a half decent player, and that is saying something. We've made him look pretty half decent. I was going to say pretty decent, but half decent I think is probably it. I mean, nobody really got near him, and yeah. Dunlop seemed to be the one who was trying to mark him. But again, having not played enough games recently,
he was a yard short.
He was always going to be a yard short, and that was probably to do with his age as well.
Yeah, you sort of miss Jason Brown's drive and grit. Trying to, you know, if he was up against Conor Salmon, you'd have felt that you'd have hoped that there would have been more of a battle there.
Whereas Jason Brown probably would have been aggressive enough, not overly aggressive. But he'd been aggressive enough and to know, let Conor Salmon know he was in a game.
Yeah.
And he probably, I mean, they said he would have stopped any of the goals. However, I'm pretty sure he, positionally wise and things like that, as I said previously, we've said before, he seemed to be improving this season. It was just bizarre choice of tactics. And it was a case maybe he was showing too much respect to the opposition.
Yeah, it's a good point actually. He's gone to a back five, although we're at home. The changes that he's made, on the face of it now, looking back, he maybe hasn't given them too much respect, which is frustrating because we've spoken about before that we want to make Balmour a tough place to come to. You're not going to make it tough if you go to a back five and give them all the room that they want.
And obviously, as we've said before in previous games, you go away from home to Falkirk and Raith, and I don't concede early. We're now
standard.
We're looking to do it at home now.
Yeah.
9 minutes in, that was it.
Goal down. Declan McManus, he's a good player, a really good player. I think he can play at a much higher level than League One. But you give him a sniff around goal in the penalty box, he, 9 times out of 10, in my opinion, he will score.
He had like a yard of space in that box, and it's all he needed.
Yeah, exactly. Just that little chance, and he'll take it. I think he scored a really good goal against us when we're down there, didn't he? He sort of take it about 30 yards.
Yeah, that was him. Yeah,
that was that time we're conceding worldies.
That's the one.
Every week, he didn't have to work too hard, I must say, on Saturday, which is disappointing from our point of view.
He scored a hat trick, but he's hardly broken sweat.
Yeah, exactly. You see the photo at the end. He's got the match ball and he's holding the 3 fingers up to signal his hat trick.
I don't think he was even out of breath.
Yeah, exactly. Disappointing.
So again, the second goal was pretty much similar. It was just so disappointing all around.
Yeah, the second goal, from his point of view, is good because there's a few players running into the box to try and get the ball. But he's got that tactical nous just to step. He stopped his run and he's pulled back just ever so slightly, and the ball's come to him whilst everybody else has gone into the box. Although he's just slightly in it, he stopped his run and he's made a really good finish, which is disappointing from our side.
And so at 2-0 down, you thought, well, this could be 5, 6 or 7. Mm. But lo and behold, for some reason, I don't know, maybe Falkirk took the foot off the gas slightly, or Peterhead decided they were going to actually turn up and play. For the next sort of, 10, 15 minutes, Peterhead were right back in the game again, and even got themselves a goal.
Yeah, I think that was the only period in the game where we actually did cause them a little bit of problem. I think there was 5 minutes, I don't say we penned them in, but we got a couple of crosses across goal, a couple of nice passes in midfield to try and sort things out. But yeah, it didn't quite work. If we got the goal, but I thought we were still a bit toothless up front.
Yeah, it was a great finish by Dunnan.
Oh aye, no problem. For a centre-half, it's a really good finish.
For a centre-half to score an own goal like that was a great finish. But it was a great, but I have to say, it was a great buy by Leach to pick out Dunlop at the back post. I think it was a rebound for the corner. It escalated for there. But it was a really good ball in. But again,
he's got up well.
He's done it well. He's got across, and Dunlop's had a brilliant finish. Second half was a bit more one-sided, shall we say.
Yeah.
And then obviously we went 3-1 down, penalty and a red card. Again, probably one of those decisions where it could have gone better. It could have. I don't think we're going to dispute the fact that it was a penalty.
No.
We're going to dispute the fact that he's given him a red card as well as obviously given the penalty.
As I said on Saturday to you, that I was surprised. I no argument with the penalty. From where we were, it did look a penalty. I was surprised that there was a red card. I was under the impression that if a genuine attempt to win the ball was there and the penalty was given, then a yellow card would be sufficient enough with the double jeopardy rule. I assume that is still in play at this moment in time. Who knows with Scottish referees?
Yeah.
They make up their own rules as they go along. So I did think it was very harsh on Saturday when it was a penalty and a red card. Look back at the highlights as well. I still think that there's a reasonable challenge been putting in. There is a penalty, but again, reasonable challenge putting in, so I'm surprised it's a red.
And Jim said as well after, which was a bizarre kind of comment he made. He said to David after, he should have been better off just letting him score, then we could have played a game with 11 men. So you're 3-1 down with 11 men, or you're going to be 3-1 down with 10 men. Either way, you're going to be 3-1 down. It was a bizarre way to do it. It didn't seem to... Again, it was definitely a penalty. But surely he could have been a bit more... he could have defended his player a bit better.
Yeah, that's why I think it's harsh it's a red card, because he's made the challenge and attempt to win the ball. He hasn't gotten it. The Falkirk player's been quicker in getting to the ball, which is why I don't think it is a red, with the double jeopardy rule.
And you look where, if you watch the highlights, you look where the ball actually ends up. I don't think the Falkirk player's actually going to make contact with it, because it's too high up.
Yeah.
Unless suddenly he can jump 7 feet up in the air. The ball's actually on at the other end of the 18-yard box. So, yeah, again, we're going to say it's a penalty, but, you know, we seem to be losing our rod with the referees every week.
Especially this referee, he's got previous.
Yeah, he's got previous. He didn't give this a penalty to the Wraith, which was definitely a penalty. And he's given now a penalty, yes, we'll say that, but he's also sent a player off. So again, we just have to wait and see.
Agree with the penalty, but disagree with the fact that it's a red card.
Yeah.
I think a yellow would have been sufficient enough.
I think so. And again, Jim, at the end of the game, in his interview, I found it strange, really, that the guys that were doing the interview didn't actually ask him about his tactics, because surely, having gone from his normal 4-1 or 4-5-1, whatever you want to put it, he's suddenly going to change and bring in an extra couple of defenders and play five at the back. Nobody really questioned him, and that was really disappointing. And Jim never sort of said why either.
Yeah, he didn't elaborate on anything.
No, he was pretty... He was... Dare I say it was, we didn't play well, we didn't play well. That seems to be the recurring theme with him at the moment. He needs to be a bit more, be a bit more enthusiastic and say, right, we didn't play well, I got my tactics wrong or whatever, and just, I think he showed too much respect to Falkirk. He said that they played well and we didn't. Well, that's not really good enough, is it?
We often say that Wraith and Falkirk are a three-hit game, but you've got to go in and come out of that game thinking, we actually gave it a go. If you get beat 4-5-0, at least you can say you've had a go. But I don't think we did that on Saturday.
No.
We gave them too much time, respect, and it just felt flat. You know, the first goal went in, and you could just feel, you never felt the guys that were doing us as well, that we could get back in the game, even at 2-1. You didn't really feel it would go on to win the game. But you don't want the defeats to then start mounting up. We've lost two, we then get a home game against Dumbarton, and you want to try and change your fortune. But if you've got your manager's upbeat in his post-match report and saying, look, I got this wrong, but we know what we can do next time, you know, players will get a lift from that as well. But on Saturday, from the team lineup coming out, the performance and the comments afterwards, just seemed like quite a defeatist sort of day, but there wasn't much positive to take fate, and you're sort of scratching your head looking for something.
If you're looking for positives, I the only really positive I could have picked out was the performance of Jack Leach in midfield. It's Ney's natural position, central midfield, and he had to do a lot of donkey work, but for me he was probably our only positive. He looked as though he was getting back to his best after his injuries.
Fit,
he's ready to go again. But yeah, we were really struggling for any kind of positives to come out of there.
Aye, normally we try and take some positive for the game, we try and spin a positive angle on it, but this week we've struggled a bit.
And I agree with you to an extent with the free hit, because it's against Falkirk, but it's a home game.
That's what makes it more disappointing. We haven't had a go or look like it.
If you go away from home and get beat by them, you'd expect it, but at home, just go at them. I know the first game of the season was 6 months ago, and Falkirk's a different team from then, but we should still have tried to be positive and had a positive outlook and forced things on them, attached a bit more.
Yeah, that's why changing it to a back five still is bemusing. It's now to figure out why he decided to go with that. I would like to figure out why we've done it, but I'm scratching my head trying to figure out why.
Scratching my head, left disappointed. It just seemed to be just so disappointing all in all. There was one other bit that came out of that as well on Saturday was the signing of Andrew McCarthy, the first one in January. Another midfielder, attacking-minded midfielder, it should be said. Probably one of those positions maybe that we maybe didn't need in a hurry, but he did try and sign him in the summer, and he's became available, so... I think he's just brought him in because he knows the player and wanted him, as I said, in the summer.
Yeah, like you, I don't think it's the first position that I would say that we're desperate need of a player. He's 21, he's not played much football in the last 6 months. Injuries haven't really helped that. You're hoping that that's not a theme again, another injured player coming in. You hope that he's now... If Jim wanted to get him in the summer, he's got him now, so hopefully we'll see that the good side and a positive outcome in the next transfers coming in with this deal.
Yeah, because he decided not to go to Peterhead in the summer. He wanted to stay in full-time football, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
Hasn't worked out. He's now going to go part-time in the hope that he's going to get a move somewhere else. That is pretty much where Peterhead is as a club within their recruiting at the moment. They are signing players who are not getting games for their clubs at full-time level. So they drop down with the thinking that they're going to get somewhere else, or they're signing players at the twilight, the end of their careers, i.e. the Derek Lyles and such. Gary Fraser is an example of somebody who's looking to rejuvenate his career. So that's kind of where we're at the moment. So you're not really signing anybody long-term as such, really, are you? Because you're not, if you're signing like a youngster, for example, Ross Willocks would probably be the best example. We signed him as a youngster. He's got a couple of loans. He's extended his loan to the end of this month, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with him, whether or not he comes back and you know gets a start in the team, the first team, or maybe they decide, well, he's going to ship him out elsewhere again. But that's the kind of that's where we're at the moment. We're not signing anybody long term, and I think that could be a problem for the future. You're not building, we should be at the point where I say like we're in League One, right? We're going to survive this season. We're going to stay in the league. Next season, we're going to try and get the playoffs. Next season after that, if we don't get promoted, we're going to look for promotion through the playoffs. There should be some kind of plan. Long-term plan, a five-year plan, as people always like to say, and players that you're signing has to be within those plans.
Yeah, it's maybe difficult to try and sell that vision to players on a part-time basis in League One, but like you said, from our point of view, that is something that you'd like to think the club are trying to do. They've got this plan where they want to be in the next couple of years. It's one of them, if a player plays well for 6, 12, 18 months, he gets his move, but then you'd like to think we've seen the best of that player at Peterhead as well. But on the flip side, if you've got 5 or 6 players all playing really well and then they all ship out in one summer or one January window, you know, you're back to square one again.
So in terms of what he may or may not do in this window, so we signed a midfielder, talking midfielder. What's the one position do you think that we need more cover on or somebody different in?
More cover would probably be left back. I think we've seen that from Paddy wasn't available for Saturday. It was square pegs and round holes. So you're taking in players and I played for a couple of months. Maybe, dare I say, a striker. If obviously this Rory situation, we'll see how that plays out over the next couple of weeks. But might he have been looking for a striker anyway, and then maybe, hypothetically, shipping out maybe Ben Armour or Aidan Smith on loan for regular games. He has tried them very sparingly over
sparingly.
The last...
Sparingly would be a good word to say how he's been using them, yeah.
The last couple of months, he hasn't really given any of them a proper run at it to try, for whatever reason, but... Yeah, cover at left back, and if you can, maybe a striker, but that could, you know, as well, I see strikers are worth their weight in gold, so might struggle there.
There is a rumour, and it is just a rumour, of a certain other League One striker have been mentioned, but we won't obviously mention too much into that. But that is a position we need. We need goals, we need somebody to come in. But again, if he's going to play one up front, it's a very specialised position.
Yeah.
If you've got a partnership, it's slightly different, because you can rely on one or the other to score more goals. And we can see quite a lot of the teams we're playing against do play with two up front. But I think, yeah, striker's definitely needed. I would like to see, yeah, as you said, another left back coming in, because Paddy's a big, big loss. He is the only natural left back we've got, so we need somebody else in there as well. And probably, I think, as well, I know he's been playing Ben Armour on the wide right, but I think a natural right winger would be better. And I know he wants to try and develop Armour into a right winger rather than a striker, but maybe if you had a natural winger, an out and out winger, rather than playing, say, Conroy, who's a left footer on the right wing,
yeah,
I would probably be intent to go with that. Jim maybe has his own ideas. We hope he has his own ideas and who he wants to bring in. He's maybe got a list of players that he wants to bring in, but we'll wait and see.
That idea's maybe been ripped up within the last 6 hours.
McAllister's maybe put a span on in everybody's work slightly, but we'll wait and see. Joining is always more difficult, I think, because teams don't want to let players go.
Yeah.
And then you end up signing players who have been released. So you're talking about free transfers and things like that again, but because that's what happened with David Ferguson end of the August.
Yeah,
window. He signed him the day after the window closed because he was a free transfer. So it could be those kind of things again, but we'll wait and see. We've got a couple of weeks to go, so there's a long way to go. So no game for Peterhead this week. Scottish Cup ties. Instead, Peter obviously got knocked out, so we thought we'd have a quick rundown of some of the ties. We're not going to go through them all. We're going to concentrate particularly on our League One, I was going to say rivals, but League One
counterparts.
Yes, that's maybe more the word to use. So I guess the Plum tie, or the Plum ties, are for Stranraer and Dumbarton, who are both away from home. Dumbarton are playing Aberdeen on Saturday, and Stranraer have not only got a game at Ibrox against Rangers, but they are also on the TV as well. So regardless of the result there, I think the money that they're going to generate from that game will probably last them for the next couple of years, I think.
Oh yeah, they'll be delighted with an away tie, especially at Ibrox, the money that will come in.
And I'm thinking back, did they not beat Rangers a couple of seasons ago, or three seasons ago, in the league at some point at Ibrox? It's come to my memory. I think it's maybe a cup game or something. But they, obviously they've played each other recently because of Rangers coming up the leagues, etc. So, but I would expect a couple of home wins with those two. Dumbarton maybe might fancy something out of that, the way Aberdeen are playing at the moment.
Aberdeen's in the best of form, so Dumbarton might fancy it. I think Rangers would comfortably get through against Stranraer.
I think so. So the other ties for the remaining League One teams, Clyde are away to Bonnyrigg. I think we'd imagine Clyde would get through that one as much as maybe we would.
Wouldn't hope.
But yeah, again, Scottish Cup, you never know. Wraith are away to Livingston. Slightly more, I wouldn't say even, but you know, it might catch Livingston on an off day. They could get through.
I think it's one of them from the draw is made. Livy wouldn't have really been excited about that, Ian, and the fact that that's a banana skin. I think a lot of people will be expecting Livy to win, so the pressure may be on them. Mm-hmm. Livy's form's patchy. Wraith on a good run at the moment as well, so mm-hmm. I think Wraith will fancy their chances there.
I think they will. I think they're good enough to cause them problems anyway. Our opponents on Saturday are away from home at Arbroath. Falkirk are at Arbroath. Again, that's probably one that Falkirk would probably fancy.
Yeah, they'll like that one.
Even though obviously Arbroath are a league higher. To be honest with you, if you look at those two teams, you would think it would be the other way around. Falkirk should be the championship seed, and Arbroath the other way around. But again, they'll probably fancy that. And Airdrie, again, they've probably got a plum tie as well. They're at home at Hearts. Dare I say, the way the Hearts are playing at the moment, I think maybe Airdrie might even fancy their chances.
Yeah, this is one, looking through it, I actually fancy Airdrie to do something against Hearts. Hearts are in complete disarray at the moment. They've just told their captain as well, he's free to leave, training with the reserves. You know, there's discontent with the Hearts dressing with their new manager. He's only been there a couple of weeks. I think Airdrie will fancy their chances against Hearts.
I think they've got a good chance, yeah. And it's interesting as well that all six teams that is left in League One are all away from home.
Oh, yeah, good point. Just
notice
that.
Aye, see, the heated balls, etc., etc., and all that kind of conspiracies. But there we go. But we'll be watching out on Saturday to see how they all get on. Obviously, extra games for the teams as well. Likes of Clyde as well, obviously, their game was postponed on Saturday because of the weather. So it means we have a little bit more advantage to us as the season progresses, maybe.
Yeah.
But there we go, that's Scottish Cup. We would have preferred to be in it, but we're not, so there we go. But that's it for another Blue Toon podcast for this week. As always, thank you to Martin for being here. And thank you to you guys for listening. And as always, thank you to our sponsors, Marco's Chipper. And thanks again, everybody, for listening and your comments, etc. Cheers, bye.